Welcome back to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. I'm Pam Spencer, along with Darren Schulman and Gage Telez, and we talk all kinds of hockey. Of course, CBJ is definitely tops on our list, but we want to mention some of the NHL things going on. And I also like to cover NCAA as well as high school hockey, so we'll be telling you the standings for those teams as well a little bit later in the show. But we usually start with Darren because he's our rules guru, and he quizzes us on a NHL rule, and we'll see how we do, and then he grades us on how we do with the rules of the NHL. And sometimes we learn something new and sometimes we already know it. So what do you got for us this week, Darren?
All right, first of all, I got a lot of big news about the Blue Jackets rule because I went to a bunch of games since we had a last show. Mm-hmm. And this one is from the game against Carolina on New Year's Eve. Did either of you attend or watch that game?
I watched it, but I did not attend it.
I was working the arena that night, so I was there. I tried to keep up.
Yeah, because I texted you and said, the refs are really bad this game.
Uh-huh.
So there was a point in time when there was a penalty called on Carolina, and the Blue Jackets also got a penalty called on them that I have probably seen maybe one time in my 10 years here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called embellishment.
I remember that.
I remember that too.
The Marchenko?
So I want you to tell me what embellishment is.
Oh. Well, if you follow soccer, you would know what embellishment is. Well, embellishment is when someone gets banged up and the refs think they're overemphasizing their pain on the ice.
It's like faking an injury?
Faking an injury. Faking it that it's worse than it actually looked like. Yes.
Okay. Really? Do you agree with this, Gage, before I award scores? Do you want any input here?
I know nothing about it, so please
really?
Tell me.
Really? You've never heard about how much the soccer players embellish things?
I don't watch soccer, so
they lay on the ground and go,
I mean,
yeah, like my ankle's broken.
Games. Oh, my God.
I mean, and then they run.
And
then,
I've seen football players do that. Okay. But
all right, that's embellishment.
States, but yeah,
embellishment. Where they ham it up. Yeah. Too much drama for the actual injury.
I didn't know that was actually a
that's
penalty.
That's embellishment. Well, it can be.
Oh. I'm giving Gage an incomplete because he didn't try.
He doesn't know.
Cam,
he's too young to know. Thank you. Yes, I do know what it means.
So let me tell you what the rule book says. Right. Rule 64.
Mm-hmm.
Diving/embellishment. Any player who blatantly dives, embellishes a fall or reaction, or who feigns an injury is penalized with a minor under this rule.
Wow.
And it says a minor penalty should be imposed on a player who attempts to draw a penalty by his actions.
Okay.
So here's the thing that I found interesting. Mm-hmm. I totally get it if you like fall down and pretend the guy hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Embellishment. In this case, they actually did do it. Like we got the penalty. So it seems like, how do you embellish a real penalty? But so we got an embellishment and they did the penalty, which is weird.
So they penalized the person who hit our player who was accused of embellishing.
Yeah, we both got 2-minute penalties.
That doesn't make sense.
At the
I've
same
never
time.
Seen that before.
Yeah, like, and I forget.
How do I embellish something that's real?
I know. You already said it was real if you penalized the other team member.
Right, because if it was an embellishment, they wouldn't have penalized the other team.
Right.
So
yeah, it was weird. I've never seen that before.
Was it Fantilli or Marchenko? I can't remember which. I want to say
it was Fantilli who did the it was Fantilli.
I did not get to see it live, but yes,
that was one of the longest 4-on-4s we've had all season because of that.
Jeez.
That was a weird game. We'll get into that as we run it down. But Pam, way to start the new year with a great new score. Maybe this is a sign of things to come.
Thank you. Yes, embellishing. You don't hear that very. I've only heard it maybe once a season.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't hear it very often. So, but
hockey players are pretty tough, and they fall down when they get tripped. So, like, it's kind of hard to embellish.
I know.
Well, I mean, and I can understand because when I tried skating for the first time a couple of months ago, it's so hard to even stay on your feet, and you know these hockey players are flying around the ice.
Uh-huh.
I could expect them to trip and fall over, you know, every once in a while, but then most of the time they get right back up and, you know.
Yeah, and go on about their business.
And go about their business, right.
Of kicking the other team's butt.
Yeah, Olivier.
Yeah. Oh, I love watching Olivier.
I love that young
I'm
man.
So happy he's on our team.
Although, please stay out of the penalty box. It really hurts us.
Well, yeah, that happens sometimes.
Oh, sometimes.
Yeah, I take the good with the bad on
well,
that
Well, I
one.
Was going to say, yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm glad we have that
The
one
refs
guy
are going to see it.
Yes.
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 Okay, so let's start with the Flyers game because we didn't do a show over the holidays because we were all extremely busy with whatnot. So we'll go back to the Flyers game. It was a loss for us, 5-4 in overtime, though. And I'm going to put the rose-colored glasses on for just a minute and reference this one as well as many others that we've lost in overtime. Why is it that we're making it all the way to overtime and then we lose? We do get a point, so each point counts.
Good. I'm happy.
That's the rose-colored glasses part. Each point counts. I'm very happy when we get a point, but we want 2 points.
Yep.
So it's interesting, and we've had teams like this before where it's been this close to winning the game. So I just wondered what each of your take is on these overtime losses where, yes, we get a point, but we didn't get the 2 points.
My thought here, just based off of watching the guys, I think it's kind of like how you conserve power at the beginning of the game, and then you kind of you save your energy for the end, so you really put on all out.
Okay.
My thinking here, based off of seeing Elvis Merzlikins almost pass out on the ice a couple of games ago.
Yeah.
I feel like we're putting a lot of effort during the game, don't get me wrong, but then I think we run out of steam towards that very end.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, Elvis Merzlikins and our other goalies, they're constantly looking around for this puck.
Right.
And then they're always in our zone.
And sometimes too much.
Too much. And
right.
they get away. Sometimes they'll get a breakaway goal, and that seems to hurt us. That's what I've kind of noticed, but I'm curious to know.
You think
your
it's
thoughts.
A training issue. So, Darren, maybe. What do you think?
I think the Blue Jackets, when they win on hustle and effort, grinding it out. We don't have the top talent on the like skill positions in terms of finesse. And so when you get to the overtime, it's 3-on-3. The ice is a lot more open. You need to control that puck because if you lose it, turn it over, you get those fast breaks, and that's when you get the breakaway opportunity. So I don't think our team is built for overtime because our two skill positions and a skill defender are not going to be as good as most of the other teams.
Okay.
But I am happy to get the point because I think those points add up. If they lose every overtime game, but they're getting there, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I just wanted to touch on that. And obviously we were playing against Tortorella's team in that example, and to be 5-4 at the end, I think that's a pretty decent score playing against Tortorella's team.
That was, and you were mentioning in the last episode, remember how when we really got beat hard by the Flyers here at home,
right?
And you said, you know, that sometimes could affect players emotionally. Your former head coach is on the other team.
Yeah.
But I think they must be listening to our podcast because they heard you, Pam. I mean, you work at the arena, so they can hear you from across the way. No, but they probably took that in and realized, okay, you know, here we go again. We're not going to let this get to us like it did the last game. And, you know, they were in it the whole time. I mean, if I remember all the way, they were in it the whole time, and it's just that last second loss there for overtime. But I think that was part of what was in their minds to get that out of the way, forget that John's even there.
Right.
Just focus on the hockey game.
Okay, let's move on to the 23rd, and that's a 5-4 win against the Canadiens. And I was at that game and had a blast, and it was really fun to watch the crowd and the players. And Darren was there too. It was it was a great night.
We got to beat the Canadiens.
That's
finally.
Right. We beat the Canadiens that night.
Beat someone we're supposed to beat.
That's right. 5-4.
Oh, man. Now, this next series, I was at this game, and this is the back-to-back series we've had with the Boston Bruins. So my neighbor of mine is a Bruins fan, so this is the game of the year that we always love to go to. And, in fact, we were actually going to try and go to Boston this year, but it just didn't work out with the back-to-back games. But Blue Jackets, very, very impressive performance over the Boston Bruins. We've had almost, I think, 80% of the puck possession the entire game. We were always getting so much more shots on goal than the Bruins even did. But then the Bruins did eventually get two behind Elvis Merzlikins, but
a 6-2. That's a really good score.
And that was a lot of confidence going in, because then again, the very next day we play that exact same team, but this time at their barn,
home and home.
However, things didn't really go our way.
Yes, I know. And Darren kind of predicts these. He usually gives us an idea of the likelihood of a loss, and I think you mentioned this one.
Yeah, I said they were going to get us.
Right.
And I honestly kind of thought the Bruins were going to get us at home, because you remember I think it was 2 months ago prior to that, we killed the Bruins 5-1 at their place. So I figured
they got their coach fired.
Yeah, we got
their coach fired.
Right. So I thought going into this game on the 27th, I was like, I am not going to expect a win tonight. Mm-hmm. But then a 6-2 win, holy moly, I was not expecting that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as Darren said, they got us hard the very next day.
And by the way, I've heard it on good authority that Boone is officially back on the ice practicing.
Yes.
So maybe we will see him back in the mix in the near future, which would be great. Oh, we have all these young guns that are starting to gel, and it would be great if we could get Boone back in the lineup. So moving on to New Year's Eve, let's have Darren pick up this one. Of course, versus the Hurricanes, it was a 4-3 win in the shootout. And what a night. Oh, my gosh.
So this is the first of my big pieces of news. Okay. I know no one cares but me, but Parker got on the dance cam.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
So that's we were so on the great. Jumbotron, and all people are like, were you there?
Because I just you saw did you send Parker. It to me, yes. Yeah. You sent it to me, and I sent you a picture of me upstairs.
So Parker got the Jumbotron. So that's much more important than the game.
But, right.
You know, neither team played particularly well. It was like a very back and fourth. We went up, they tied, they went up. I thought we were toast. And then we tied it late in the game to go to overtime. And I'm like, great, because Carolina is one of those good teams that now, if you follow the Darren logic, we were going to beat them. And we did. Overtime was exciting. And then we go to a shootout. Yeah. Now, do you guys, we all know hockey, but should we explain how the shootout works?
You can if you'd like.
Okay, so for a shootout, basically it's one-on-one. You pick a skater and they go down and try to take one shot at the goalie. Both teams get three, and if one is winning at that point, you're done. And if you're tied, it goes to, you know, alternating 1-1.
Right.
Whoever goes ahead wins the game.
That's
so
right.
Again, your boy Elvis here, they scored before we did. And if Elvis would have let one more shot in, we would have lost.
It would have been over, right?
Tied, yeah. We made it to extras, and then we finally pulled that ahead. So that was a great way to do New Year's. It ended basically right before midnight.
Right.
So it's like, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
But Carolina is a solid team. That's the kind of team that
They are.
You expect us not to beat. But this year, under the Darren logic, we will beat the good team. So
right.
Well, yeah, I mean, because as you mentioned, I think the last time we played the Hurricanes at home, we also went into a shootout. In fact, yes, because I went to that game, and that was my one lower bowl game of the year. Because one game a year, I always like to, I'll try and pay a little bit extra money and go down to the lower bowl.
Okay.
And that's when we beat the Hurricanes in shootout. So it's kind of nice that we did it to them yet again at our arena.
Definitely. Now, the January 2nd game against the Red Wings, and I think this was the first of three. We're seeing them three times, including the big one outside at OSU.
Correct.
So, yeah, comments on the Red Wings game.
Oh, man, we were in it. I mean, for those who missed it, essentially we were tied with, you know, third period winding down. And then as we're on the power play, Detroit's coming out of the power. We're coming out of the power play. Detroit gets a man back on the ice and unfortunately got a breakaway. And it was one-on-one with Elvis, and it got right behind Elvis with about 32 seconds left in the game. And unfortunately didn't have enough time. However, it was very it was still eventful, because during those last 30 seconds, we were in Detroit's zone, and we were so, like,
I saw the first two periods. I had to go to bed because of the morning show, but I saw the first two periods, and they were looking really good.
Yeah.
So, I think some of this goes back to training. It's 60 minutes of hockey. Just like it's 60 minutes of football, it's 60 minutes of hockey, and those guys have to be in the best shape of their lives. Eat more steak. work out more in the training room. That's it's just that much more would get us over the hump.
So. And you know, and definitely what got us at that game was definitely that power play ending breakaway that Detroit was able to get. I mean, essentially, and I forgot who it was on Detroit, but one of the players, they did that maneuver where essentially the here comes the puck and he kind of like leapfrogs, right? So he body slams the ice, but he's got his stick out to kind of push the puck out to the center of the ice.
He basically just slung it out in the middle of nowhere because he was falling down. It was a miracle play. But I think he, one thing you have to add here is poor Blue Jackets. They were down. They tied the game with like 2 minutes left.
Right.
Like we were, and I was standing by the cannon at that point because of my second piece of interesting news about Blue Jackets. And so they scored right in front of me, and we're like, yeah, we're going to go to overtime. Mm-hmm. And then a minute later, we're like, oh, that's the most heartbreaking gut punch ever.
That was definitely, I watched that one on TV. I unfortunately didn't go to that one, but I'm sure that was definitely an emotional night at Nationwide Arena. But, you know, it's when you get those breakaways, just one-on-one, you know, it's kind of like a shootout. One-on-one, you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, I still don't, of course, Elvis is probably going to beat himself up for that. But I really, he did phenomenal job throughout the rest of the game, in my opinion. You know, it's not his fault. It's just it just happened to get a breakaway with the, like Darren, like you said, Detroit had an amazing play there where he was essentially falling over, pushed it, somehow got right past our player. And as soon as the power play was ending, I mean, it all timed perfectly. I mean, literally as the power play ended, the, you know, I forgot who was in the penalty box at the time on Detroit's end. But he came right out, had the puck in the net. I mean, it was just that quick. But like you said, Pam, you got to be ready for events like that.
I know.
You got to have a guy back there. I mean, all of our guys were all in the net, you know, trying to get it in.
Right.
But then, you know, you got to have one guy at least out here to prevent the breakaway from happening. But you just never know.
All right. So, Darren, do you want to give us the rest of your news or do you want me to?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Go ahead. And quick, then and then we're going to talk about the OSU teams and high school hockey for a few minutes.
So the reason I was at the game at the Cannon was my buddy called me at 4 o'clock and said, hey, I have an extra ticket to this game. And my ticket rep says we can go meet a player after the game.
Okay, cool.
And I was like, yeah, sure. So they told us to go down, meet at the Cannon. Then we went into the locker room afterwards and we got to meet Zach Aston Reese after the game. And he talked to us for half an hour. Totally nice guy, signed pucks for us. And, got to ask some questions. And I asked him, kind of felt bad because we're like, first of all, thanks for coming out here after that loss. And I said, would you rather lose a game like that or just get blown out like 6-0? And he looked at me and says, man, that was a tough loss. I'd rather get blown out.
Okay. All right.
And then we asked him about like what's going on with the road. And he's like, I don't know. I was like, do you guys talk about it? He's like, we talk about it all the time. We try to mix up our schedules and our warmups. We can't figure out what's going on between our home and road splits because they're pretty crazy if you look at them.
Yeah. I mean, we're phenomenal at home. I don't have the record in front of me, but I think last I checked before the Red Wings game, we were 11-4 at home, and we were
won 4-11 on the road. I think 4-11, it's the opposite on the road.
Just literally the exact opposite.
And there was a weird statistic that they announced that game at somewhere along the line during the game. So it had to be in the first two periods because, I had to go to bed. But there was a statistic talking about that the Blue Jackets have the most most points on home ice of in the NHL right now. I was like, you know, they always come up with.
We've seen them all score in like 5 or 6
statistics.
Goals.
But that's current. That's as of that Detroit Red Wings game on the 2nd. We had the most points, and that was actually before that game. Actually, the statistic would have been before that game. The most points at home in the NHL right now.
Wow.
And so that also makes me wonder. Okay, so what's, like you said, what's happening on the road that's could even be, it can't be because they're on the road. It's got to be, I don't know.
Dean has said, I mean, I remember watching previous press conferences that reporters have asked Dean, our head coach, like, what do you think's going on?
Right.
And obviously, the feed from the fifth line is 100% helping.
Yes.
I mean, that stadium is loud. It's loud every game, no matter where we are in the game. Fifth line is there and cheering. And, you know, there's a saying, Pittsburgh fans, they travel. Detroit fans travel, mm-hmm. right? Sure, we travel too, but when I watch away games, I don't see much. I mean, yeah. I'm not there,
you
so
see
I don't
some,
know.
But
you
not
see
as, some. Not in that
right.
amount. Right.
You know, like last night, for example, you're not going to see as many of us like Detroit was in our barn mm-hmm. somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I feel like as the team progresses better, I mean, don't get me wrong, this season we're doing a lot better than we've had the last 3 years.
Yes.
Obviously, maybe not as good as 2019, but still doing a lot better.
Right.
So I feel like the more and more better we get, you know, we're still growing. Columbus here, I think we're still growing as a hockey town. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, in a couple of years, Blue Jackets, fifth line's going to grow so large where I really, really think we're going to get Pittsburgh back or Detroit back. We're really going to take over their place.
Okay.
And that might help us in the long run. But then again, Dean even said the fifth line is definitely what's helping.
Oh, sure.
But he still didn't really quite answer mm-hmm. the question. Because really, I don't even think the Blue Jackets know what's going on
right.
on the road.
They do not.
They
know
do not.
Guy.
Well, that's good to
like,
know.
We talk about
got a little
it all
inside
the time.
Track there. Yeah. All right, guys, take a break for just a second. I want you both to ponder the goalie situation for me.
Yes.
I'm going to go over the information that I want to cover as far as OSU hockey and high school hockey. And when we come back to the guys, I want to get your thoughts on the goalie situation. Dun, dun, dun. OSU is number 13 as far as the men's team. They are 13-14-1. But they did lose some key players last year, so that happens. They are against Michigan at Wrigley Field on January 3rd, and they are at Michigan January 5th. And the number two OSU women's team, 13-4-2 currently, and they are at home this weekend. They will be taking on they'll be at the OSU ice rink. I'm sorry, next weekend, January 10th and 11th against Bemidji State. So they are still off for the holidays as far as the women Buckeyes team on the ice. High school hockey standings in the Capital Hockey Conference, and that's capitalhockeyconference.com if you would like to take a look at the schedule and see one of the games. In the red division, it's still number one, New Albany, followed by St. Charles, Upper Arlington, Olentangy Liberty, Olentangy Braves, Cincinnati Moeller, and Olentangy Berlin. In the white division, Dublin Kaufman jumped over Dublin Jerome, so it's Kaufman first, then Jerome, Olentangy Orange, and St. Xavier. And in the blue division, Worthington Kilbourne still at the top of that list, followed by Gahanna Lincoln, Bishop Watterson, and Thomas Worthington. The current standings for the Greater Columbus High School Club Hockey League, or GCHSCHL.net, if you'd like to look at their schedule and attend one of their games. Varsity Gold, currently still Dayton Gold at the top, followed by the Hilliard Wildcats, Newark Generals, and the Miami Redhawks. The Varsity Silver, Dayton Silver at the top, PHA Prowlers, Westerville Warcats, Northeast Storm, and Athens Bobcats. And in the junior varsity division, again, this is all club hockey, Dayton Stealth, Newark Generals, Miami Redhawks, Hilliard Wildcats, Irish Eagles, that's the Dublin team, Westerville Warcats, PHA Prowlers, Northeast Storm, Columbus Ice Hockey, and Dublin Irish at the end of that list in the junior varsity. And again, that's all the club teams. You can see their schedule at gchschl.net. And again, capitalhockeyconference.com for the OHSAA high school hockey teams.
Good for them.
And they are all playing for several more months before they get into the finals, and I'll keep you posted on that. So getting back to CBJ hockey predominantly, we have about 5 minutes left. I want to touch base on the idea of the goalie situation, and the reason I call it a goalie situation is because we have Elvis for a couple more years. He's on a long-term contract, and he's had his ups and downs, and he's had circumstances that were obviously overwhelming at times, and I'm glad to see him having a good year this year. I believe he's having a good year this year. Lord knows he knows how to stand on his head, and I like to see that activity within the net. I believe he's doing the very best he can this year, and that a lot of those demons have been moved on, if you will, to the best he could. So I think Elvis is doing well. I'm not really sure what to think about Tarasov. And I think bringing in Jet Greaves more this year is beneficial because he's done so well at the AHL level. It's definitely time to move him into that backup role at times. But then what do you do with Tarasov? And they recently offered Tarasov the opportunity to go back to the AHL and do some training, basically, play some games at that level. And he declined. So that's where we're at with the goalie situation. Darren, what do you think?
Well, to first add some meat on your bone, Elvis is signed through 26-27 at $5.4 million a year. Mm-hmm. Tarasov is basically a restricted free agent in 25-26, and Greaves is a restricted free agent in 26-27.
Okay.
So now I do have to point out we are still paying Wennberg until next year.
Don't remind me.
Every time
me.
I talk salary cap, Wennberg comes up. You know, I think Tarasov, I know he had a couple of good games starting off, and you guys were kind of talking about how maybe he's the answer, but he definitely cooled off.
Yes, he
did. I'm not
did.
Sure yeah. he is the answer. Mm-hmm. Greaves is, again, another one of those guys where to see him develop, but you don't know if he's going to be able to sustain that. We saw him maybe a month ago in that game where he pretty much had a shutout, and then they put him in the next game, and he got blown out. So I'm just not sure he's the answer. Elvis is streaky. He gets awesome, and then he just does bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I still love him. He's my guy because he's got some personality. But
now
I think he's going to have to play better if they're going to move him because they tried last year, and people are like, yeah, no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that streaky thing you're talking about, is it Elvis by himself, or is it the defense in front of him that's affecting his choices?
I think the defense definitely, Elvis definitely gets hurt by bad defense.
Okay.
Like last night's last goal was, again, a fast break. Yes, you can stop a guy one-on-one, but also it's hard. Your percentage goes way down. Mm-hmm. He gives up a lot of goals on power plays, which I know Carl used to say it's your job to stop the puck, but I feel like if there's five people against your four, or sometimes five against your three, I've seen, your goalie's at a disadvantage, and he does do a lot, seems to give up a lot of goals on that. So I do think defense plays a strong part. That's why they keep buying these good Gudbranssons, Provorovs, Severson's. Mm-hmm. They're trying to bolster the defense to help him, I think.
But Gudbranson isn't helpful right now because he's on injured reserve. So, Yeah.
I mean, I pretty much agree with what Darren said. I mean, the whole Tarasov situation has definitely changed quite significantly since the last end of last season, because I mean, for those who remember, he was phenomenal when Elvis got hurt the last few games there. So I am quite interested to see by the end of this season. I mean, we still got a lot of games left, don't get me wrong. So maybe, you know, Tarasov may redeem himself in a couple of games here.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. But if this activity does keep up for the remainder of the season, it will be interesting to see where his future goes. Mm-hmm. I cannot see him staying in Columbus if he continues the trend he's on now.
Right.
Unless something miracle happens and he gets absolutely great. But until then, you know, it is kind of a toss-up right now. And I kind of do have some faith in Jet Greaves. Yes, he got blown out a couple of times. But watching his first NHL game this year, I still go back and look at that game and go, that is something I've never seen Elvis do.
Okay.
You know, I honestly think if I had to choose between Tarasov and Jet, I would kind of have more faith in Jet because he's a younger man. I mean, look at his record in the AHL. Obviously way different, but it is interesting he did decline the AHL offer there. But
I'm not sure what the point of that is, but he did.
Yeah, but, you know, we'll
does
see
he
what
have,
happens.
A lot of people
I'm assuming
view
he
themselves.
Has a, does he have a two-way contract? I'm assuming he has a two-way contract. Because Darren kind of keeps track
that.
Of that.
Okay. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I'm going to click on his name.
Okay.
I mean, some people are just like, hey, I'm a professional now.
Right.
I don't have to go down there.
See, if he doesn't have a two-way contract and they made that suggestion, then he was well within his rights to go, no, I'm going to pass.
Right.
However, that could come back to haunt him. Now, the next question is, beyond what we've all discussed in the last few minutes, the next question is, who else is in the pipeline besides Jet Greaves?
Yeah, that's that's also another... Yeah,
right.
That's interesting. And, you know, just you Mm-hmm. You got us. That's the point of the farm team, folks.
I know. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people.
I haven't kept track of who's up there now.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I haven't the last few games, but that's why Blue Jackets fans, it is, and all NHL fans, it's really encouraged to watch your AHL farm team, because that question right there, Pam, will be answered by that farm team.
Yes, it will.
So I am quite excited to see what Cleveland has in store for us down here. But until then, I really want to wish Tarasov gets better. And I think I still think he will. You know, we're almost about halfway through the season
we're
here.
Yeah, close to the halfway mark.
So I want to say he's got time. You know, he hasn't had a lot of ice time this year.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm wondering if maybe that might have something to do with it. But at the same time, I think he's got time to redeem himself, just like how Elvis did. And, you know, compared to last season to this season, I really do think Tarasov has a chance. But then again, if this continues, like if let's say we're in March and we're still at the same situation, I can't see Tarasov staying in Columbus.
Final thoughts, Darren.
I think we need to finish out January on a strong note, and I'm looking forward to the outdoor game. It's going to be awesome.
All righty. Anything else, Gage?
Blue Jackets taking on St. Louis Blues this Saturday. And then, of course, we have Seattle next week. I really, really wish we beat Seattle because I don't like the Kraken.
Darren likes their logo.
Oh, yeah. We're going to fight here, Gage. Release the Kraken, man.
Their logo's great, but it just reminds me of the last Seattle game I went to. I had a really, really interesting Seattle fan sitting right next to me that just – loved her team, let's put it that way.
Okay, enthusiastic fan. I know people who bought the friggin' jersey just because they like the logo. I'm like, what? You have too much money on your hands.
And it's like, you don't even know what the team is.
I know. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up, and we thank you so much for listening to our podcast. You're listening to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. We'll be back with you soon. Go Jackets.